Turn with me, please, to Matthew 16. I have a question for you tonight. And that question is it so in heaven? So I want you to think about Matthew 16, verses 13 and 19. I'm in the Passion Translation. And Jesus was asking his disciples, he said, "What are the people saying about me, the Son of Man? Who do they believe I am?" They answered, "Some are convinced you are John the Baptizer. Others say you are Elijah reincarnated, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But you, who do you say that I am?" Jesus asked. Simon Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God." Jesus replied, "You are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven." Now, we sometimes say that in reverse, so to speak, because in the older translations, it says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. It's like you have to do it on earth first. It's really the other way around, folks. What's happening in heaven is what should be happening in earth. What's being allowed in heaven should be allowed on earth. What's not being allowed in heaven should not be allowed on earth. That's why I ask you that question. Is it so in heaven? Because that's what we have to start asking ourselves. Since the keys that Jesus gave us allow us to forbid that which is forbidden and to release that which is already released in heaven. As Pastor Ed would say, just for funsies, I looked up the word keys. And it means, a regular instrument, a key to unlock something. But it has a more metaphorically based meaning. The keeper of the keys has the power to open and shut things. But metaphorically, in the New Testament, keys is to denote power and authority of various kinds. Jesus was saying, I give you power to open and shut as well as various other powers. That's what he gave us as the church. The Amplified Classic in Matthew 18 says it just slightly differently. He says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven." So when you think about it, you realize that heaven has to be involved in everything that you ask or think. Because if it's going to be done by my Father in heaven, it's got to line up with what's already going on in heaven. God is not going to allow us to release something in heaven that's not already released. He's not going to allow us to take any nonsense. There's no stuff going on in heaven You know what I mean? There's no bickering. There's no racism. There's no political influence. There's no disease. None of this stuff is going on in heaven. So if it's not going on in heaven, it shouldn't be going on in the earth. It shouldn't be going on in the earth. So we have to figure this thing out, because the church is the channel that brings and keeps the earth under subjection. And we do that by not allowing anything heaven has bound and not loosing anything here on earth that's not already loosed in heaven. Remember in Genesis 1, why don't you turn there? I'm using a translation I don't use that often. It's called The Voice. It just says some things a little differently. It says, now let us conceive a new creation, humanity. This is God speaking to the Godhead. Made in our image, fashioned according to our likeness, and let us grant them authority over all the earth. Now, I was thinking about that. Why would the Godhead decide to make a new creation to look and act exactly like them, but then allow them to just throw any kind of nonsense they want together, or allow anything they want on the earth? No, it would damage the earth, and God knew that, because further on he said in verse 27, says, so God did just that. He created humanity in his image. He created them male and female. Then God blessed them and gave them this directive: be fruitful and multiply. Populate the earth. I make you trustees of my estate. Think about that. I make you trustees of my estate. Now, when you're a trustee of an estate, there's a documents that are signed, and the documents tell you, some people think you're a trustee and you can do whatever you want. To a certain extent, that's true. You can do whatever you want within a set of parameters. As a trustee of an estate, if the trustee documentation allows discretion in giving out assets of the trustees, okay, that's fine. I can do that. But if the document says this amount goes to this function, this amount goes to that person, as a trustee, that's what I have to do. I have to follow the instructions by the one who made the document. So God said, I make you trustees over my estate. So he expects us to keep his estate the way he would keep it. What other reason would there be for him to make us in his image and after his likeness? He wanted his estate. We'll refer to the world as his estate. He wanted his estate to listen and obey his voice. His estate was designed to operate and function based on his voice. So if he was going to create another being, or since he wanted to going to create another being to be that trustee, that being had to look like, sound like, act like the original God. The problem we have today is directly tied to that not happening. Adam and Eve were trustees, and they allowed something to come into the garden that was not allowed in heaven. Satan was kicked out of heaven. Jesus said, I saw him like lightning fall. The Bible tells us there was war in heaven. Michael and the archangels fought against Satan. and Satan prevailed not. Actually, some translations say he fought against the dragon, and the dragon prevailed not. Same person. And so he got cast down to heaven, and now he shows up in the garden. And instead of not allowing him in the garden, he was welcomed in the garden, had a conversation in the garden, his proposal was considered in the garden, and then accepted in the garden, where he should not have been. Why? Whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is already been loosed in heaven. Satan has not been loosed in heaven. He was bound. He was thrown out. And we should do the same thing when he shows up. The same thing that happened to him in heaven should happen to him here. He gets thrown out. And we give him no place. We give him no place. We have to have an understanding of who we are. See, Adam didn't do that. Adam did not really understand who he was as the trustee, who he was as as God's creation. He didn't have an understanding of that. And some of us have to get a better understanding as to who we are in Christ. Because when we understand who we are in Christ, we'll also understand that there's some things we just should not tolerate. Why? They're not tolerated in our hometown, heaven. They're not tolerated by our Father, God. They're not tolerated by our Savior. And we shouldn't tolerate them either. We have to get in line with what's going on in heaven, because we are to be the examples to the world of what heaven is like. Talk more about that in a minute. Whatever is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth, must be what is already permitted. If it's forbidden, if it's improper and unlawful, then we should forbid it. And we should not align ourselves with people or groups that are doing things that God has forbidden. It's already been bound. See, when Jesus said that he was going to, on the truth of who he was going to build his church, said the gates of hell shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. And it's time that we understood just what that means. Hell has already tried to overpower heaven. Already tried it. And they think, nah, bad idea, didn't work. He needs to understand, he being the devil, needs to understand the same results happen when he tries to insert that stuff in a world that's kept in subjection by the church. By the church. We have to understand that God works through the church. He can't get anything accomplished unless it's through the church, because there has to be free will. So without the cooperation of the church, things won't get done. That's why there's such a big attack on the church the last few years. Because we're so busy bickering with each other, we're not tending to the garden, and we're allowing things to come in that have been forbidden in heaven. And if it's forbidden in heaven, then it should be forbidden here on the earth. The higher the church goes, the greater the manifestation of God's power working through the church. The higher, the closer we get to being like heaven, the greater manifestations of God's power will show working through us. because our focus will be on the Great Commission, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. And those miraculous signs will be following them. I've been asked a number of times, how come we don't see the signs that we used to see? Because the church has lost its focus. The church has lost its identity because the church has been caught up in other issues that are not spiritual, have nothing to do with heaven. We're focusing on things, as a matter, that are really forbidden in heaven. So we have to change our focus. And the first thing to do that, we have to remember who we are. The measure of the power of the church today determines the measure of the manifestation of the power of God. So if the church is operating in full power, we're going to have some powerful manifestations of God all over the place. But the church has to be aligned with what's going on in heaven. It has to be a mirror image of what's going on in heaven. And we know what's going on in heaven because, first of all, we have the Holy Ghost to tell us. But even before that, we have the Bible that tells us how things are supposed to be. And all we have to do is believe it and then do it. God is this, it's like an unlimited water supply. And it's like we take a little teeny tiny hose and connect to it. And we get a little bit and we're happy with that. But the world doesn't need a little bit. The world needs a gusher. How do you get a gusher? You connect a bigger hose. You connect a bigger hose. What does that mean? That means we have to grab on and have a better connection with what's going on in heaven. Because if we understood, when we understand, I'll say it that way, when we understand who we really are in Christ, we'll embrace everything that heaven offers. Because we'll understand that we're supposed to have it. It's ours. It's there for the taking for us. We were given keys, power, to unlock it or to lock it down, if that's what it's called for. But whether it's locked down or unlock, we have the power to do it. The only stipulation is it has to line up with what's already going on in heaven. So again, we have to ask, is it so in heaven? We want to go and we want to, as a church, we want to go and we want to demonstrate against whatever. Okay. Do they do that in heaven? If they don't do that in heaven, do they record people doing things and then put them on social media to humiliate them? Are they doing that in heaven? That's the question we need there. Are they doing that in heaven? The degree of the manifestation of God's power is governed by the capacity of the church. So you want to see God's manifestation in a greater degree, the church has to get a greater capacity of heaven, a greater understanding of who we are, a greater understanding of our connection with heaven. And as we do that and hold on to it, the power that flows out of us will be tremendous. In Matthew 6:10, you don't have to turn there, Jesus was telling us how to pray. And he said, we're to say, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So even when we're praying, we're supposed to keep in mind what has been locked in heaven, what has been loosed in heaven. My prayers need to be in agreement with that. Sometimes our prayers don't get answered, folks, because it's not in agreement with what's happening in heaven. We can't pray for things to be unlocked that are on lockdown in heaven. And we damage our faith when we try and do that. That's why we have to learn more about how heaven operates and what heaven looks like. I asked this question this afternoon during noonday prayer. How many, you just think about if you've ever been summoned by God to pray for someone. Sometimes it's very early in the morning. Well, that's because you've become a channel that God can depend on, that God can trust, and he knows you'll act on someone's behalf. The reason he called you is because that person or that thing is about to go contrary to what's going on in heaven. It's going out of alignment. And God has called on his warriors to pray to bring things back into alignment. Because our job, again, is to be a trustees of the earth. So God will let us know, you know, warning, something's about to happen that's not in line with what where you're from, where you live, where I am. This is what I want you to do about it. And then you get up and you go and do it. Everything stays in alignment. Everything stays in alignment. And that person who had gotten out of alignment or was about to get out of alignment gets back in place. Because when you're praying and you're declaring and decreeing, you're declaring and decreeing what's already been established in heaven. And you're casting out things that have been locked down in heaven. We're not allowing it here on the earth. In Jeremiah 1, Amplified Classic, I'm going to read verse 5. Let me read another verse, another translation, but we're going to start here. God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." So heaven has already determined what each one of us is to be. Heaven has already determined what our part is in the kingdom. It's already determined that. Our responsibility is to stick close to heaven. Like I'm close to this Christmas ornament, would stick close to it and get as close as I can. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to fall down. But to even become a part of it, why? So I'll know my part in it. I'll know what I'm supposed to do and how to carry it out. Because the plan has already been established. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, the plan for my life was established. I believe the King James says, "I knew all about you." So that means God knew before I was ever formed, before you were ever formed, every thought we would ever have. He knows every detail of everybody's life. As the Bible says, even the hairs on our head are numbered. Some of us have an easier time numbering them than others. But that's what he said. In the Message Bible, in verse 17 of Jeremiah 1, he said, "But you, up on your feet and get dressed for work. Stand up and say your piece." And here it is, folks. And if you've heard me minister, I generally say this every time. Say exactly what I tell you to say. God is telling us even our speech should line up with what's being spoken in heaven. Even our speech. Say exactly what I tell you to say. Don't pull any punches. Don't try and change it. That sounds a little rough. Let me see if I can say it in a way that's softer. No, say it exactly the way heaven told you to say it. Why, Pastor? Because that's what will work. If you add anything to it, folks, you're giving a watered-down message. Now you're giving a message that may not be properly understood. And if it's not properly understood, it will not be properly acted upon. And therefore, it will cause problems because it will allow some things to become loosed that should be bound. John 14, verses 8 to 10 in the Amplified Classic. Philip said to him, him being Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. Cause us to see the Father. That's all we ask. That's what he said. Jesus, all I want to do is see the Father, and I'll be satisfied. Jesus replied, Had I been with all of you for so long a time, and you do not know and recognize, and you not recognize and know me yet, Philip? And look what he says after that. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. If you're lined up or you're in alignment with heaven, when folks see you, they see the Father. When folks see how you operate, how we operate, they know how the Father operates. Why? Because we're his children, and that's what we do. Verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority or my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does the work, his works, his own miracles, his own deeds of power. So we need to understand that when we're operating, heaven is operating through us. Yes, I am the vessel used to minister to you, but I'm not ministering to you. Heaven is ministering to you. As long as I say what he tells me to say, what heaven tells me to say, that's what I should be saying. Otherwise, I am ministering to you. And you don't want me ministering. You want heaven. You want what heaven said, because Pastor Greg didn't know you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Heaven did. And heaven knows what you need to hear right now, so he tells me what to say, and I'll say it. That's the way it works. John 8:28 in the Amplified Classic, so Jesus added, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you will realize, no, understand that I am he for whom you look, and that I do nothing of myself, of my own accord, or on my own authority. But I say exactly what my Father has taught me. What I learned from heaven is all I say. It's what I talk about. It's how I pattern my life. Because I have to say exactly what my Father has taught me. If I allow some things to be loose that should be bound, I might not say exactly what he says. More than likely, I won't. But again, Jesus was spoken what's already been spoken in heaven. What's already been spoken in heaven. That's what he spoke. He told us in Ephesians, said, be imitators of God, in Ephesians 5, first verse. Be imitators of God. Copy him. Follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. Imitate their father. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of what's going on in heaven. Follow heaven's example. I love my children, but I wasn't always a follower of heaven or of Christ. And I remember an incident once at a basketball game where one of my where my son was saw something I did, and within 2 days imitated the same thing in school. And I had to apologize to him. This was before I was a Christian, but I still knew right and wrong, right from wrong. And I had to apologize to him and let him know Daddy was wrong. I shouldn't have responded like that. Now, at that time, I didn't know that heaven didn't act like that. But the more I found out when I did receive Christ and started finding things out, I allowed it to change my character. No, in the beginning, I didn't like it. It was uncomfortable letting people get away with things that I normally wouldn't, but I did. But I started learning how to imitate heaven in word and deed. Why was I able to do that? Well, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18 in the Amplified Bible says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creation. That just means when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, you become a new creature. That a new creature altogether, the old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. So it's saying that old life of imitating this world is done. This new life of now imitating heaven has come. But all things are from God. All things are from heaven, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. So we've been realigned. So we now line up with heaven and with all of the attributes of heaven. Now, as much as you don't want to, you can't help with all of the stuff going on in this world today. You can't help but comment on it. And we don't like to, because we don't want, you know, there to be strife or division. But there should be division from right and wrong. There should be division from what's bound in heaven and what's not. There should be division there. What's bound is bound, what's not is not, and it shouldn't be mingled. But if we're going to realign ourselves with heaven, then there's some things we're going to have to stay away from. We're just going to have to stay away from. And all of that can be put under one heading: social issues. Yes, the church has a place in social issues. You know what that place is? Is it so in heaven? We look to heaven and we don't see this stuff going on in heaven. So we come and use our prayer life and our everyday life to demonstrate to this world this isn't how we're supposed to act as believers. And the more, remember I said that the power, the manifestation of the power of God will increase as the church's knowledge of who they are in Christ increases? When we come together like that, and our knowledge of who we are as Christians, who we are as born-again believers, who we are as the army of the Lord, when that realization hits us, when we start lining up all sides together with heaven, tremendous change will take place. Tremendous. But it starts with our realignment with heaven. That's why we can imitate him. That's why we have the keys. See, when you, it's very much, or the analogy that I like to use is that of an automobile. every now and then, you have to go and check the alignment of your tires. Because if you don't, the car will drift off one way or the other. And you'll have to work harder to keep the car on the right path, number one. If you don't realize that that drifting is because your tires are out of line, you think maybe the road is graded a little different, and sometimes that's the case. You'll start to get uneven wear on your tires. And your tires won't last as long as they should because your wheels are out of alignment. So you need to take the time to go and do it, get the alignment checked and adjusted. Is there a price for that? Yes. It may not be an exorbitant price, but it's not done usually for free. It costs something. Getting realigned with heaven costs something. First thing it costs was Jesus, his natural life. That's number one. But us, it's going to cost something. We may have to walk away from some things that we enjoy. But if we're going to realign ourselves with heaven or get back in alignment with heaven, that's what's going to be necessary because that's who we are. We don't want to be like Adam and not recognize who I am and allow something to be unleashed. Can you imagine? Just think about how long the earth has been in turmoil ever since Adam loosed Satan. Ever since Adam gave over his lordship to Satan. Now, the good news is we got it back. Jesus said, I came to undo the works of the devil. So as imitators of Christ, we come to undo the works of the devil. But what we need to understand is that to undo, we have to first realign ourselves with heaven. We're citizens of heaven. And when we understand that, the environment, well, think about this. There's a character in Charlie, in the Peanuts character, and there's always a storm following him. When we, as citizens of heaven, when we understand the heavenly environment, heaven will accompany us wherever we go. Wherever we go, we'll be surrounded by heaven. James says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual means valid or binding, as in an agreement or a document. And what makes your prayer binding is that it and you agree with what has already been established in heaven. If it's established in heaven, God has to bring it to pass in the earth if we loose it. How do we loose it? Through our prayers. We loose peace. We bind racial tension. We bind political discord. We loose the love of God among the people that's already been loosed in heaven. We're authorized to loose it now in earth. The unrest has already been bound in heaven. We are now authorized to bind it here on earth. But we have to first know, is it so in heaven? And if that's the way it is in heaven, then that's the way it needs to be here on the earth. There's really only one question to ask in any circumstance. I don't care what it is, whether it's sickness, is it so in heaven? The answer, no. So I bind it here on earth. I bind it here on earth. Prosperity. Is it loosed in heaven? Yes, it is. So I loose it here on earth. I have the right to. Doesn't mean you're greedy. You're entitled. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. It's God that gave you the ability to get wealth, to establish his covenant here on the earth. So I loose that now in Jesus' name. I'm lined up with what it says in heaven. And that's what we need to realize. You ask the question, is it so in heaven? When you get your answer as a child of God, a citizen of heaven, you'll know what you ought to do. You'll know what you ought to do. Father, I thank you. I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you for just letting us know, reminding us, we're citizens of heaven. And we have the authority, we have the power to loose any on earth anything that's already been loosed in heaven. And we have the power and authority to bind on earth anything that heaven has already forbidden. We just need to know the difference between the two. This is loosed, this is bound, and act accordingly. Thank you for the Holy Ghost who brings us into all knowledge of the truth, shows us things to come, testifies of you. He will keep us in tune with what's going on in heaven. All we have to do is listen to him. That's all we have to do. But we thank you, Lord, because we are your people. We're called by your name. And we're going to constantly be seeking your face because we want the same thing that you wanted. When people see us, they see the Father. When they watch our interactions and watch our lives and lifestyles, they'll have seen a glimpse of how it is in heaven. And then they'll do what's necessary to bring heaven on earth, or heaven to the earth. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. First step, as I said before, Jesus said, no one gets to the Father unless they come through him. No one. That means you can't get to heaven without going through Christ. Say, okay, how do I get to Christ? Glad you asked. Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So, want to make this confession with me? It won't take long, and I promise it won't hurt. Father, thank you for letting me know that there is a way I can spend eternity with you. All I have to do is receive Christ as my Savior, to believe that in my heart. So I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe he went to the cross and died for my sins. He was buried in my place, went to hell in my place, but after 3 days in hell, God, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn towards you. And I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you. And I'm asking you, make something new of me. I want heaven as my home. And I ask in your name. Well, friends, if you made that confession and you meant it, you just got born again. Welcome to the new neighborhood. you are now born again. And the next step is to find out what all of that means. We try and make it as simple as possible. There's contact information on the bottom of your screen. Please use that contact information. Let us know. I just said that prayer with Pastor Greg, and I'm born again. What's the next step? And we'll send you free information as to what to do next. And as always, if you have any questions about anything that I shared with you tonight, use the same contact us information and contact me. Send me an email, send me a letter. Give a call. I promise you, even though it may not be the same day that I get it, but I will answer your inquiry, your question. I'll take your call. I promise you I will.